Welcome to this talk. So the background to this chat with Steffi and Eddie from Guttegau is really about the journey that growers undertake, you know, to make natural wine, to farm properly. We sort of, I think when you go there and you taste so many wines, we kind of think it kind of happens like this. But, you know, it's a real process, and it really takes time to make really extraordinary wines the way that Steffi and Eddie. So I thought it'd be interesting to perhaps, you know, maybe hear about this journey, the challenges, the opportunities, how things change, what's next, through tasting basically three wines. So we've become really good friends, and I've been to Steffi and Eddie's place many times. I visited in 2012. We're trying to remember when was the first time that we met properly, because we'd met before. And I think our journey here at the fair is actually really related to the Guttegau's journey in terms of the progress. I mean, you're now amazingly popular. We can see when you. So I think it's really nice and interlinked, and it's a story of a friendship and real journey. So maybe you can give us a little bit of background on as to where you are and the types of wine what you do.
First of all, also thank you, Isabel, and also Deborah, for having us. Doing all this crazy work like what we do with Raw Wine Fair, and now it's amazing because when we started 11 years ago, there was no wine fair to go, there was no place to show our wines, and I think, you know, like these are the two amazing women with the flag on the top to give us a chance to show our wines, but for all the growers here, and it's amazing. Thank you so much. Without you, we wouldn't be there where we are today.
It's not a long time like on a viticultural circle, so also we quite feel at the start, but after all, I mean, it's lots going on, and we gained huge experience. We had lots of interesting things we could talk you through during all these years. But starting in 2007, which was our first vintage, so my wife and I, we had the chance to take over a more or less abandoned estate, vineyards which have been planted mainly in the 60s, 70s, very poorly treated, the vintages before we took over. It was owned by an old lady, she didn't have any children, so understandingly she kind of lost ambition to continue on a high quality path. So again, more than 15 years before we took over, she would not produce any wine anymore, just sell the grapes, not doing any effort in the vineyards, which was good for us because there was hardly any fertilizing, there was hardly any chemical spraying, so the vineyards reacted very well on the conversion to biodynamics, which we started from the first moment on. So 2007 was our first vintage, pruning included, so it was all the vegetation circle we did, and it was our first year of conversion into biodynamics. Quite interesting to say, because nowadays it's so obvious, everybody's talking of natural wine, and we're about to kind of have an idea of what it really means, or at least there's a hint of things, criteria, which is also defined to a certain extent by the raw criteria, what is natural wine, what is not. But only 11 years ago when we started, the term wasn't even born, so there wasn't a term for the wine which we did at that time. And the reason why we did it was actually quite simple and kind of understandingly for us logical, because we took over those vineyards, we didn't have any reference point of the quality potential of the vineyards. We knew that it's been high qualities coming out from the vineyards till the early 80s, but afterwards, as I said, most of the vintages, they only sold the grapes, so there wasn't any reference point for the wines. And for us, it was important in the first vintage just to judge on the potential of the vineyards by not interfering in the vinification process. So that was the original idea why we started to go for that, just to have an idea where we would stand, what the potential would be, and where we could probably head to in the long run. And the work on biodynamics in the vineyards for us was also kind of obvious at that time, because we wanted to preserve the old vineyards, the old vines, we wanted to revive the soil, and at that time for us the only logical consequence was to go for biodynamics. Besides from the quality reason, which was also for us always astonishing, to have wines tasted from farmers who have been worked biodynamically for a long time, like Nicola Gilly, Stefano Pelotti. Those wines have been very lively and vibrant for us, and of course it's been kind of a reference point at that time, but there wasn't any or many more to for us to have a reference on. I mean, of course there's been a few like Austrian producers as well are going on biodynamics. Nikolai Hof, Sepp Muster, just to mention a few who did it before us. But in the end, only 11 years ago, it wasn't a lot going for that approach, and that was kind of, we were kind of innocent on this.
You have to understand, like, I was 25, and when we met, you were 29, and we said, okay, we want to do something together, we want to create something. And when we came up with the approach to say, okay, we work on biodynamics, in our region, everybody was thinking we are completely crazy. And then we came up with the idea to say, okay, we are working biodynamics in the vineyards, but we are also let go in the cellar without treating the wines, without filtering it, without fining, without putting sulfite to it. People thought, you know, like, we also with the labels, with the characters on the labels, okay, I mean, this goes maybe for 2 years, but in 2 years' time, you will not see the wines anymore. And they had a little bit, it was right what they said, because the first years was a big, big struggle for us. Also working-wise, family-wise, because we have 3 children. And I think the biodynamics farming is not only a progress what the soil is doing or the vineyards are doing, it's also a progress in your personality and also in your life. Like, you rethink a lot, you change a lot, you, yeah, it's a big progress to get a better person and also a better soil, and this is also very linked for us.
So in order to illustrate the story, we're going to taste 3 wines from one of the characters in the family, Theodora. And we'll kick off with the 2007. So we're starting with actually the first wine that you made. So perhaps you can tell us a bit about, you know, how, A, what is Theodora, and how, I mean, and you'll see, for me, I think it's an amazing opportunity to taste 3 vintages of the same wine, because I think that the evolution is really amazing. Perhaps you could give us some background in terms of how the wine back then was made and what was your experience of making the first vintage.
I mean, one fun thing is that, first of all, 2007 was our first vintage, and it was really hard to sell, and we had like some friends with restaurant business in Austria, but they rather bought the wines because of feeling sad for us because we couldn't sell it than having them on the list because they were great. And this is also 2007 Theodora, which we had to buy back because they didn't sell it. That's why it was, yes.
Yeah, we just found out because there's a sticker on the back from a Vinotech. We brought the wine too, but obviously we had to take back. Those are memories which we personally erased. It's much better to memorize the positive things, but in the end it's fun as well. But just to give you the idea, I'm not sure if most of you are familiar with our approach, but we are based in the eastern part of Austria. Region is called Burgenland, very close to Hungarian border. And this, in former times, during the Austro-Hungarian Empire, used to be the Hungarian influence. So the law of heritage in that area said that each child would get the same piece of land, not like in the Austrian side, that the oldest one would get all the land. Turns out, through this law of heritage, the pieces of land are very small and very widespread, so it's a little like in Burgundy. We started with 11 hectares, 9 of them have belonged to the estate, 2 we already rented at that time, but it was at that time already around 30 different pieces of land we were working on, widespread, different topography, different soil type, terroir. And when we started already during the first vintage working in the vineyards, for us it was quite obvious we would not go for a single vineyard approach because we wouldn't want to have 30 wines. We would not go for a single grape varietal approach because what was really interesting for us was also at that time was the soil types. So we decided from the start to blend all those vineyards which had the same character, the same identity, the same personality. And this we continue up to now, even though we've enlarged the surface a little by adding vineyards which already have been planted as well and partly abandoned, partly very grown-up vines. But in the end, all our wines are field blends of different vineyards which for us have the same identity and character. And this brings us to the wine we're going to go through. It's interesting for us because actually some would say it is kind of the entry-level wine, which is not true. It's the young generation. So this is white vineyards, which from the start for us have always brought rather youthful, energetic, light wines because of topography. Mainly it's vineyards on the flatland, so not that direct sun exposure. But also in the end, a very nice, lively soil and minerality due to gravel soil. So it's quite poor soil as well, no loam, no concentrated soil. And that's what Teodoro is representing. And for us also it's nice to see because we hardly taste any older vintages on a regular basis. It's nice to see that the wines, of course, have from the start the potential to age because we were always longing for picking at the time where the grapes are ripe, not making any compromise for that, not longing for the style of wine by choosing on the time of picking, but just longing for a balance and a harmony in the grapes and then picking. And in the end, that makes stable wines, makes long-living wines.
So how was this made then, compared with like how, in terms of sulfites, in terms of, did you use any here?
Yeah, so again, the term, sorry, it's okay.
No, no.
The term natural wine wasn't born at that time, and it wasn't our idea just to go into like a dogmatic non-interventional approach as mentioned, but we wanted to feel how the vineyards would react. So for us it was clear during all the evolution in the cellar, in the barrels, we would not touch the wines in terms of sulfites added or whatever. But the first vintages we added a little bit before the bottling because we thought it would be better to kind of, after the wines are getting shaken through, like during bottling and transport, would be good to stabilize them a bit. But we only bottled them, that was actually from the start, at the time where the development, the evolution in the barrels was done in terms of fermentation, in terms of malolactic, everything which the wine wanted to go through on a free level would go through. And in that case, I don't remember anymore. We added a little bit of sulfites before the bottling in the 07.
But you also have to know that it was the first vintage, and of course we had like a huge bank loan running next to it because we bought this estate, and it was also like that we didn't have the balls not to use sulfite because we didn't know where the wine goes through when we will ship it somewhere, and this is also something, this insecureness we had, and this of course comes with years and you get more secure, you know exactly how the wine reacts. But I think it's also nice, I mean, vinification wise we never changed anything since the beginning, only the sulfite which we add at the beginning, and now we also bottle without sulfite. But it's nice because people all the time ask, what is the difference in vinification wise? And I think it's so beautiful because you see the development of the vineyards from the biodynamic approach, how they react and give so much life into the wine. And this is for us beautiful to see also.
And I guess for me that's the greatest testament of the work in the vineyard, because from tasting all your vintages really and spending actually quite a lot of time tasting with you and all vintages throughout now is, and that's why I thought actually it'd be really interesting to taste this particular cuvée, Theodora, because Theodora is supposed to be the youngest, more ebullient adolescent in a way from the series. And I think in a way Theodora really grew up, you know, at the beginning I think there is this kind of like adolescence, youth, and then as you'll see through the progression, Theodora is becoming a mature woman and actually quite serious, and that's all to do with the farming and what's happening in the vineyard. So I think she's a perfect example to illustrate your work.
Yeah, but again, like flashback for us to a certain extent, because what you like memorize as a grower from vintages, of course, is certain like the vegetation, how it was, and then you have, of course, memories of harvest and everything. But in the end also, because for us it's not just the produce, it's part of our life, you know, every wine we release is very close to our heart, we're very much uploaded with our emotions. Then, of course, you also memorize the feedback you get on the wine and how the wines were appreciated. And as Steffi already mentioned, in 2007, it was really tough for us. Even though now tasting the wine seems so well-behaved and actually not a provoking wine or whatever, but again, only 11 years back, in Austria, where of course people are maybe a little more biased in terms of what a, especially white wine should taste like, you know, they're longing for fruit, for certain freshness. Actually, the typical Austrian wine, which is still the profile for Austrian wine, is more like a wine defined by vinification, more, much more than origin of the grapes or terroir. But that was at that time so far off the track that the people were really insulting us for the wine. And now having the wine like this, I would say it's a really, I mean, again, a well-behaved wine. I mean, there's nothing to complain about. If you want to see it critical, Theodora, tasting 07 now, we would love her to be more rebellious than she is now in the glass, because this is really, I mean, a nice but decent and well-behaved wine.
Do you have any comments or questions? Because this is, you know, it's not, you know, it's a nice small group. So I think the opportunity is also to, you can ask anything, doesn't have to be relating to this one in particular. So if you shout out the question, I'll repeat it for the purpose of the radio and the recording. So the question is, as Theodora is growing up, do you see more offsprings to the family and adding sort of, you know, a younger generation?
I mean, it's family, the people coming and going. You never know.
But immediately you don't have any thoughts of like bringing in more members of the family?
Let's see.
Okay, so that's a yes.
Yes.
No, but that's always been from the start, this has been our approach, because we started with quite a, let's say, big range of 9 wine family members. By now it's 10, but it wasn't for the sake of like covering any demand or whatever, but just representing the different terroirs we have and the different like personalities of the vineyards. And that's why we were ending up with this quite lively big wine family. And also it's because we have both white and reds, about half-half. So for us, it was from the start to try to get a very like tiny range, but on the same hand, not forgetting special terroirs or whatever, and that's why we ended up like this. And having said that, sorry, of course, if we have one day a vineyard added to our portfolio, because it's always tempting, you know, there's lots of small growers usually who like sold the wines to cooperatives. They would stop working the vineyards. Two possibilities, either they get rid of the vines or we would take them over and try to get them back in shape and continue to work with old vines. It's always tempting. So if there appears a vineyard which is so particular in personality, of course we are open-minded to let some like further relatives in or whatever. Well.
Any further question? We'll go on.
Where did you learn about biodynamics?
So the question is, where did you learn about biodynamics?
When learning by doing. I studied photography and I come from the hospitality management. And Idad already said, in our region there was almost no producer who worked like this. And for us it was like really reading books and and of course also now it's still like each year it's completely different. Weather conditions, completely different influences, and each year you are starting from new, and but this is also the beauty of it.
And maybe that's a good time to actually talk about climate change, you know, how it's impacted you. Do you feel, you know, there is a pattern coming along, or like every year is completely different?
Yeah, so of course we feel blessed. We are in a region where you feel the differences in the vintages. So we started in 2007, and so far, we would say there hasn't been a vintage one-to-one compared with the other, to be compared with the other. But it's very, very obvious that especially the recent years, there's a dramatic change in terms of climate extremes. We have like long periods of very hot and dry climates, but then followed by very, very wet and cold periods. So in the end, if you go for an average temperature, you won't find the difference after like a year, but there's no spring anymore. There's hardly any autumn anymore. So we're back home now. It's like beginning of November. We have 20 degrees, which is usually, I mean, it used to be between 0 and 10 degrees. So everything is changing on a very, very dramatic pace. And this shows also in nature, more than I think as humans we are struggling with this. It's in the media, in the news, you know, it's floodings there and other catastrophes there. But the plants, the animals, they are suffering as well, and they are challenged as well. And we think we have a perfect tool with biodynamics to kind of support the plants and to kind of give them a certain relief. And going back to where we started, so my wife, she's from restaurant business and photography. I have a little bit of a wine growing background because my parents used to grow wine in southern Styria, but on a conventional approach. And it was certainly thanks to Steffi, she kind of was more like open-minded and kind of more like the one who was thinking not into boxes, that we were going on this adventure. And we are still learning a lot about the biodynamics, and we still have to improve a lot. If you read Steiner's book and you think you understand it, then you haven't read it intensely, you know. So it's always, we've read it for many, many times, the agricultural courses, but it always, you always find out a new aspect which at the moment probably moves you, which can help you on. So it's always something new you can learn and experience.
Yeah, but I think also because of climate change, biodynamics, I think it's the only way to how to farm nowadays. And of course, we also try to convince as much as wine growers, but also normal farmers like grain farmers, to convince them to work like this, because it's the only chance to get a really healthy grape or a product out of it. And as also Edard said before, with farming at the end, biodynamic doesn't mean it's only wild and you let go. It's rather to really go with your soil and to rethink, and you read between the lines, what do they need, how can it help them to grow in a better way. And it's, I think nowadays more and more you have to focus on this and not only to say, okay, I don't need to do anything anymore.
Okay, let's talk about the 2013 in the glass. So we're jumping from 2007 to 2013. So what does your life look like in 2013? What's been the evolution in those years?
So in this vintage, we didn't have to take any bottles back. That was the good news. So we actually, when we still were kind of depending on when we started to kind of place the wines abroad rather than in Austria, because the wines have been much more appreciated. Also in the UK, where we actually met, was one of our first export markets, and Denmark, and those were the countries which were from the start quite open-minded, and the people would be open-minded for that style of wine, as well as for any wine which would give a certain character or authenticity. So people were searching for that. So at that time, I would say we've been to a certain extent established already on the market, which is of course a big relief to know that you produce. And that's of course, for you it's probably obvious, but worth mentioning anyways, the work we do in the vineyards during vegetation is a work which only pays off like probably 2 years later, 1.5 years later, depending on when we release the wine. So of course we always have to invest into something which the result is only seen much later. So it's good to know that you have a harvest in, you have a certain quantity in, and you know that the wines are appreciated and that you're going to sell them without a huge effort. Then you can more easily invest work and effort into the vineyards. And that's also what, of course, our goal always was, that we would, of course, start also in terms of farming in a more classic way, let's say, okay, work with the machines and then use the biodynamic treatments. But now, and also that was part of the journey, we were trying to keep the machines out of the vineyards as much as possible, so we would not put pressure on the soil. We would start to integrate more and more people in our team to support us on the one hand, but also to bring in spirit and energy. Everything we try to do is handcrafted. And that's very important, not only for the quality of the wine, that in the end turned out for us to be a side effect, but it's very important for the quality of the soil, and that's again what we're longing for. So here we think it is quite obvious already. It's a couple of years later. There hasn't been much change in the work, the way we treated the plants, but there's been a change in the work. We were kind of putting pressure on the soil. There's been more cuddling of the grapes, more handwork, and this certainly tells because the wine is already much more liberated and more. So my wife is a very good example for a person who would always say the opinion and also not shying off to also provoke something with what she's saying because she believes in it. And I think this is also reference for this wine compared to the first one. This is already a wine who would stand up and would say, okay, I'm here, I'm standing for this or that, and I'm going to go for it, whether you like it or not. Whereas the first wine probably, again, hard to understand because it wasn't when we started, but tasting the wine now is more or less wanting to be pleasing and a little shying off, you know what I mean? And here is really like self-confident personality, and that's a huge difference in the emotion.
And for me, so when I taste the 13, I get a lot more concentration, a lot more texture, a lot more liveness. But you know, in a way, when you took over the vineyards, they were already pretty much, like you said, abandoned and they were not treated. So what is it that happened in those sort of 6-7 years that has the wine, because you're already working, it's not like you took over some conventional vineyards that for me delivered something which is interesting but you know is not as full of complexity and texture. So what do you think is the main sort of contribution to that big jump in quality?
I think this continuously working on the soil. This is, I think, the main, what you feel also in the wine. It has length, it has, yeah, complexity, structure. I think this you get out not only from, because in Austria we are very much grape-driven, like Grüner Veltliner, Welschriesling, it has to taste like this or this. And I think this is the best example because when you work biodynamic, you try to give the vineyards the feeling or the wines to say, okay, like a human being, like, okay, you have to work hard on yourself a little bit to get deeper roots, to get more from the minerality of the soil. It's like an immune system of a person, you know, like when you have children, you give them, they are sick and you give them medicine, the immune system will say, okay, now I'm fine, but the next time when I'm sick, I'm fine, I don't need to push myself because my mother is giving everything what I need. And it's the same with wines. It's, you have to go with them and to show them how to get strengthened to, yeah, not needing you the whole time to, yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we're talking more of natural wine, but in the end we should talk actually about lively wine, and that's, or living wine, and that's the point for all the things we are considering, because after all these, I mean, again, the vineyards have not been badly or heavily treated, but still we took over more or less a dead soil, because they didn't have any, they didn't like kill the dead soil they had before, but the recent vintages, they didn't invest anything to revive the soil, and that's what we did, and it means that to revive a soil, you have to bring life back into the soil. And this you can do by creating humus, of course, because humus is, I mean, is actually the most important thing to create, because you have on the top, you have like a perfect, how do you say, biotop for microbiological activity, for all the bacteria who would digest the organic matter and reproduce like compost, humus, whatever, on a small scale. And this, of course, goes deeper and deeper, and in the end it's such a fragile balance in any natural living soil, what microbiological activity there is, what in then causes a certain pH level, whatever. We're not talking of chemistry too much because also we're not into that, but then you can get minerals which are in the soil but which can be released and can be taken by the roots, and then you have the mycorrhiza, if you're familiar with that. So there's so many things going on in a lively soil, and the more life you have in the soil, the more lively the plants are, the more resistant they are, the more they can protect themselves, and in the end, of course, also the wine will be more lively, will be more resistant. In 13, for example, we didn't have to add any sulfites anymore because there's so much inner strength in the wine, and this, I think, you can feel, there's so much tension in the wine that the wine doesn't need to be protected from oxidation or whatever influence from outside. But that's an evolution, and that's also very important to know that, farming doesn't mean you can quickly rush to anything, you can't push the plants to anything, you need to have the time, the patience, the grit and the consistency. And maybe because we didn't know about how to push this on or how to speed this up, that's why we are where we are, but it's good like this. We shouldn't, I mean, modern humans always want to control everything, they want to be quick in everything, but that's not the way it goes. And again, we're not talking of a very long lifespan in terms of vineyards, in terms of plants. 11 years is nothing. So wait, what happens in the next 10 years or another 10 years? There will be a huge development. There's no need to be afraid of that this development will sometimes stop or anything. So there's always more and more life to create, and that's a for us interesting future perspective as well.
Yeah, great. I mean, that's a fantastic argument for quality, regardless of you know, whether we talk about natural wine, low intervention wine. You know, if you want to create wines of great quality, you have to work your soil and you have to work organically, biodynamically, or with permaculture. And I think that's a very interesting argument, because in a way, it's almost an argument we should be using to people and say, if you want to make great wines, you know, you have to farm and organically at the very minimum, biodynamically, and revive your soils. And I think this is, for me, this is, you know, without even mentioning the winemaking, I think this is a very clear illustration that's a very basic requirement. Any questions? Go on. So, yeah, so I guess, do I need to repeat the question? Yeah. Okay, so the question is, you know, you do the whole process from farming to winemaking, but what do you think of people who actually buy in grapes and only make the wines in terms of, I guess, do you think that they can achieve similar levels of quality or similar levels of aliveness in the bottle?
We are not here to judge, to be honest. But in our case, it's like, at the end, we don't see us as wine producers, we see us as farmers. And I think this is it. At the end, I mean, the first goal when we started was like, okay, we want to create the best wine, we want to be like, you know, the best wine producers. We are so far away from this, and this is also what I tried to say first. It's also like a progress in your personality. At the end, we love to work on our fields. We see us as farmers, and this is the huge change we can put also back to climate change, the earth on which we are living on. And at the end, it's a side product, what comes out of the whole year work, but it could be also carrots, maybe. I don't know. But I think this is, yeah. For us, it's not a trend. It's also not a kind of thing what we can sell and we can make a living out of it. For us, it's our life. It's, yes, we can do a living out of it, but this doesn't drive us. What drives us is to make really a change and to give a lot more back what we take.
Thank you. Next question. Okay, so the question is, do you use other plants in the vineyards in order to increase biodiversity, or to use them as, you know, as to encourage sort of predators for other species to help combat disease, you know, I guess? Maybe you can give us some like specific examples.
Yeah, so I would say, unfortunately, we have to bring in So once in a while we renew the cover crop on between the rows, and we bring in seeds. The ideal world would be that there's enough like varietals of seeds around and they could spread, but that's not the case because in the end our region is not like a monocultural viticulture region, but still there's lots of vineyards of conventional farmers who usually open the soil, so there's no cover crop. There's many grain farmers, so it's more like monocultural as well. So it's not enough like wild seeds around that they could give us a nice biodiversity. And this also, again, it's all about, we talk about life, but it's really important to have lots of, for our understanding, lots of different flowering plants, flowering at different times in the vineyards, because that would attract insects, and that would, again, increase the biodiversity. So usually what we do, because it's very small pieces of land in the end we work on, and quite diverse, so usually we bring in a mix of seeds of different plants, and then according to the different vineyards, one or the other might primarily grow, but usually it's a mix of like leguminose and clovers and stuff like this. I'm not too familiar with the terms in English, but it's a nice, so sometimes even some sunflowers are popping up, whatever, but we're trying to get some flowers in the vineyards as well. That's important. So again, and this is what my wife also said, we have to be aware that natural wine growing doesn't mean you don't care, and it doesn't mean you can deny that we are still in a monocultural system, and we need to break this as good as we can. But in the end, then we have to find the balance, and we need to encourage this natural harmony by sometimes bringing something in which is probably not there on a natural base, but this will in the end support the plants, the vineyards, everything.
Perfect. Any other questions? Go.
There's a lot of organic producers that might have several organic certifications, and maybe they apply some of the vitamin principles, but especially in California, I think many growers refuse to do the last step to go all the way with the vitamin, somehow assuming that it would be irrational. I would like to hear what you think is the main hindrance to go all the way.
So the question is, a lot of producers in California go through the steps of organic certification in the vineyard, but stop beforehand and maybe don't go the full hog to Demeter certification. So what do you think maybe is in the way or prevents them from going the full gamut or the full length?
What I think is they let doors open to make compromises. And I think in natural or living wines or living farming, there is no compromise.
You mean in terms of people not doing the certification process? But how about the difference between organic and Demeter or organic and biodynamic farming, for example?
So again, it's hard to judge and to put this just into a few sentences, but nowadays, organic farming is quite a wide field, so in the end it means you don't use any chemical sprayings and you don't do any synthetical fertilizers. But still, organic farming can be very recipe-wise, you know, so you don't need to necessarily be close to the plants. That's happening a lot nowadays in viticulture. People feel the pressure of also from the market. People are starting to question how do you farm, and then some wineries convert into organics, but it can be a way of conventional farming with other means, which is in the end still good because the soil is treated differently, the plants are treated differently. So on a general term, this is a step forward, but it doesn't mean that the farmer needs to rethink a lot, and doesn't mean that the farmer needs to go back to being close on the plants and on the soil, which is actually, for our understanding, necessary if you take biodynamics seriously, because biodynamics doesn't only mean, again, recipe-wise, use preparations at a certain time or use herbal extracts, whatever, but the best way of understanding biodynamics is not as a way of farming, but a way of understanding life, as a way of trying to approach a circle, trying to approach a harmony in the vineyards, in the vinification, whatever. It's an ongoing process. Also, we are far from being where we are longing to be, but it's, you always need to rethink a little, refeel a little, and then we'll bring you forward. And that's not necessarily the case for organics. So I think lots of farmers nowadays, they don't have the feeling, the emotion, the vision also to understand that the way of farming biodynamics originally means is that you have to let loose from, like, as you mentioned, rational things, because we are working with things or means or treatments we have no chance to understand at the moment. Maybe one day we have no chance to analyze why it's happening. I mean, imagine we use this horn silicate preparation, for example, 4 grams per hectare being stirred, like dynamized in 30 liters of water. So 30 liters of water on 1 hectare, 4 grams of a powder. How can you analyze what's happening? But you can see, you can feel, and in the end you can taste what's happening. And the best thing is also for us to realize the beauty of nature. We will never get it, because that's a thing Max Planck said, who's maybe one of a very like natural scientist, but very analyze-driven. But at that time, he was at his peak. He said, "We'll never understand the miracle of nature because we are part of it. So we could only understand if we were outside of it, but we're inside of it. And then you just need to accept." And that's what we are doing. And we're again starting to be surprised, like children, to see, okay, we're doing something. We have no clue how it happens, but it's working and it's happening. And to accept this is a huge step forward to free your mind in many ways. And if you are on this, you can also free your plants, you can free your wines from any expectations or anything, and then they will show you things you would never have expected. And that's quite, for us, quite like the good thing on it.
I guess for me, when I hear what you're saying, you know, I think also it's the ability to be a really amazing farmer and to be very close to your land is also about a state of mind and following your heart. And I'm sure we could also argue that people, some farmers who don't necessarily believe, you know, in preparations or don't use preparations, can probably also achieve a very high level of life in the vineyard. I think for me, it's not necessarily personally about are you labeled organic or are you labeled biodynamic or are you labeled, you know, permaculturist, but it's about how you can observe and how you can work and how sensitive you are and how respectful you are. So, in a way, putting things into boxes is very restrictive, because I would argue you're way more than just biodynamic farmers. You know, you're people who are, you're living and you're breathing your vineyard, and your plants are a part of your family, and you're treating them like that. Anyway, okay, let's move on, because, you know, so there's still a lot of more wines to be tasted outside. Perhaps you can talk to us about what's in the glass now?
No, you're so a talking flow, I love it.
Go on.
So my wife is the brain, I'm the tongue today.
Go on.
No, this is now 17, Theodora. It was a... For us, like after 16, which was a really hard vintage for us because of heavy rain and frost, we almost lost almost 80% of our crop. And 17 was a beautiful summer. We had lots of rain, which we needed in the right time for and the right quantity. And yeah, I mean, for me, Theodora 17 shows so well because she's... Yeah, so loving, but also very, a little bit snobby, I think. You know, like if you have these young, cheeky ladies who are a little bit, snobby, because she knows what's going on, she knows in which direction she wants to go. She's a tough girl, but still in her learning process. Yeah. Do you have something to add?
How would you describe this wine compared with the previous wine from 13, for example? And what can you taste that you think you've kind of achieved over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, really, between these last two wines?
Yep. We personally, we from the start, we had always these references, our wines being personalities compared to human beings with certain attitudes, whatever. For me, tasting those three wines, and Steffi certainly will agree because we discussed it before, or at home we tasted the wines as well. By the way, very good the way they have traveled here. It's also quite astonishing because it's been we took them with the plane, so they show quite well. But yeah, the development in the personality of the wine, like as Theodora shows, is huge, and it means like on reference on human beings. In 17, she shows a lot of civil courage. So she would stand up and again tell her opinion, and she would also be able to fight it through in case she thought things will not go right. So that would certainly be also, I mean, now we're talking of maybe in general terms, but we are in times where, my wife always says, those who have a voice and who have something to say, usually they are too silent to speak up and to speak against the masses who are loud and not necessarily with the message behind. So Steffi always says, we should have more people to stand up for the good cause, whatever. I mean, we can discuss this, but for the right cause. And certainly Theodora is, since 17, a wine personality, standing up for that.
And from a vineyard work perspective, you know, I guess, I know it's maybe very literal, but when you taste this, like, what does it remind you of? Does it remind you of specific actions you took in the vineyard 2 years before, or what does it kind of like bring to you?
I think it's all the small steps brings the huge difference. It's, yeah.
Also, we sometimes try to understand, and then we realize everything is important, and on the same hand, nothing is important, because it's so many steps, you couldn't probably just put the one on the focus. What is quite obvious, we had a very, very hot vintage in 17, and we think it's because also the consistent work on the plants, the treatments, the herbal treatments, the support we give them to kind of cope with the difficult situations in terms of climate change and whatever. The plants are now at the stage where they want to kind of give a counterpart to what's happening around. So we had the last vintages being very hot, very dry. You would expect very concentrated, thick wines, but on the contrary, the plants have released the grapes at a rather early stage, being ripe. So there's hardly any alcohol, lots of structure, lots of freshness because of the minerality released, no flesh on the bones, and that's kind of the counterpart of what's happening around. And that shows us that the plants are also willing and able to fight against this, and they would find their place and would not deny the region and the minerality, the terroir, whatever, and they are ready to, again, to compete with what's happening around, and that's good.
Perfect. Any questions? Go on.
What do you think, how do you think Steffi, no, I mean, Theodora is going to grow up?
And Steffi, we also would like to know how Steffi is. Okay, so the question is, how do you think that Theodora 2017 will evolve and will taste in 2027?
27, okay. I don't know. No, but I think what shows, what we can see in our wines, that they develop really nice because they're also used to oxygen also in the cellar already. And yeah, they also can cope without sulfide added as well. And what we realize is, like, these wines don't have a peak and then they fall apart. They're like slowly, slowly maybe increasing, but slowly, slowly going down with their positive side. But I think, yeah, rather drink it now. Why not? You know, like, I mean, this is also our idea. Like, we bottle the wines, not saying, okay, you have to put them aside for the next 20 or, I don't know, 10, 20 years. It's more about enjoy them, but of course, they have a long life, but we don't know. Maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years. We will see.
You have to do the test at home and buy a case and then
yes.
taste it in 10 years and then you can tell us. All right, well, I think this is probably a good time to wrap this conversation. Thank you so much for bringing the wines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing the wines, you know, because it's, I know they all came from your cellar, and it's always a big ask to release sort of such old wines, and I know they're not in huge quantities. I think it's really clear that, you know, it's a journey, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. And I think it's, you know, the commitment in the vineyard and in the winery is huge. Like, Stefanidi said, it's like every little action, but you have to be exacting, you have to think about absolutely everything, and you have to be completely committed. And I think we can clearly see the journey, the results, the evolution. And indeed, you know, we look forward to the next few years and tasting some more vintages with you guys. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.